Kidney School. www.kidneyschool.org. Module 13. Heart Health and Blood Pressure. Hello, I'm Brian O'Moore, a member of the Life Options Rehabilitation Advisory Council. I've had kidney disease for over 20 years. Life Options developed the Kidney School to help you self-manage your kidney disease so you can feel your best and do the things that you enjoy. On behalf of Life Options, I hope you find this information helpful and you use it to improve your life. I'm having a good life with kidney disease, and you can too. 5-year-old Allie was watering the flowers for her mom with a garden hose one summer day. She put her thumb over the end of the hose to see if she could stop the water from coming out. At first it was easy, but it quickly got harder and harder to hold back the water. Even when she clamped her other hand over her thumb, she couldn't keep the water from spraying out. We've all tried this little experiment at one time or another, and we know that no matter how hard we push against the flow, the water will eventually win out. Why? Pressure. Without pressure behind the water to push it through the many pipes it has to travel, it would never find its way to your home or garden. You may have never thought much about it, but pressure is also very important to your health. The type of pressure we'll be talking about in this module is blood pressure. If you have kidney disease or kidney failure, your heart health is also at risk. But if you know what to do, you can lower that risk. Your heart is your body's pumping station. It pumps your oxygen-filled blood to each part of your body with every beat, through miles of blood vessels, arteries, veins, and tiny capillaries. Blood pressure is the force of your blood against the walls of your blood vessels. Since your heart beats about 60 to 100 times a minute, your body gets a fresh flow of oxygen-rich blood every second or so. There are many ways you can help control your blood pressure. So, let's get started. The kidneys and blood pressure. Most people don't know that healthy kidneys control blood pressure in two ways. One, kidneys balance fluid in the body by controlling how much water and salt are reabsorbed into the body and how much is let out in urine. Two, kidneys make hormones that control blood pressure. When the kidneys fail, they may make the wrong amount of these hormones. If this problem with blood pressure and fluid control happens, your body will be less able to respond to changing fluid levels, and your blood pressure may rise. People with kidney disease are many times more likely to have a heart attack or a stroke than healthy people because of this. How blood pressure is measured. You have no doubt had your blood pressure taken when you visit the doctor. Usually, the nurse wraps a cuff around your upper arm. Air is forced into the cuff, making it tight around your arm. Each time your blood pressure is checked, two readings are taken. The first reading is taken as your heart is pumping blood. This is systolic blood pressure. Two, the second reading is taken while your heart is resting between beats. This is diastolic blood pressure. Systolic pressure is always higher than diastolic. This makes sense because the pressure is always greater when your heart is pumping than when it is resting. Normal blood pressure. A typical blood pressure reading might be 130 over 80 millimeters of mercury. The top number, 130, is systolic pressure. The bottom number, 80, is diastolic pressure. Blood pressure is stated as one number over the other, or 130 over 80. With chronic kidney disease, or CKD, your blood pressure is normal if it stays below 130 over 80. Recent studies suggest that people with kidney disease should keep their blood pressure even lower, 120 over 80 or less. Low blood pressure. Some people have low blood pressure or hypotension, like 90 over 60. If blood pressure is in the low range all the time, it's fine, but a sudden drop in blood pressure can cause a person to feel woozy or pass out. Passing out is your body's way of keeping blood and oxygen flowing to your brain. When you are lying down, your head and heart are level, so it takes less pressure to pump blood to your brain. High blood pressure. High blood pressure, or hypertension, is a reading greater than 140 over 90, but pre-hypertension, also a risk for heart disease and stroke, is anything higher than 120 over 80. High blood pressure might be 142 over 90, 154 over 80, or 158 over 95, or even higher, like 174 over 110. More than half of people with kidney disease, and 9 out of 10 people with kidney failure, have high blood pressure. People with a high systolic or diastolic number are at a greater risk for a stroke, heart attack, or kidney failure, often with no warning sign before it happens. This is why high blood pressure is often called the silent killer. High blood pressure can also cause blindness. Why is high blood pressure so dangerous? If your blood pressure is low, your blood pushes against your vessel walls gently. But if your blood pressure is high, your blood hits your vessel walls with greater force, like Allie with her thumb over the end of the garden hose. Over time, this force can damage your blood vessels. This damage includes the smallest, most delicate blood vessels, the capillaries, some of which are only big enough for your red blood cells to pass through one at a time. Inside the kidneys, special filtering capillaries, called glomeruli, are scarred by high blood pressure, so they are less able to filter your blood. In fact, high blood pressure is the number two reason for kidney failure. High blood pressure means your heart has to work extra hard to push your blood through your body. This extra work can cause heart failure, the number one cause of death in people with kidney disease. The high pressure can cause blood vessels in the brain to clog up or even burst, causing a stroke. High blood pressure can also damage blood vessels in the eyes, leading to blindness. Slowing CKD progression. High blood pressure makes the kidneys fail faster. If you have kidney disease, lowering blood pressure can slow the rate of kidney failure, delaying the need for dialysis or a kidney transplant. What is a heart attack? A heart attack, or a myocardial infarction, or MI, occurs when a complete blockage in an artery feeding the heart keeps blood from reaching part of the heart muscle. Without enough blood, the heart muscle will cramp and die. This is what causes the symptoms of a heart attack. Chest or jaw pain that may run down the left arm, or pressure in the chest or trouble breathing, breaking out into a cold sweat, nausea or feeling lightheaded or dizzy. In women, the symptoms of a heart attack can be different. They include feeling breathless without chest pain, flu-like symptoms like nausea and cold sweats, unexplained fatigue, weakness, or dizziness, pain in the upper back, shoulders, neck, or jaw, and feelings of anxiety. If you have one or more of these symptoms, call 911 for help. Getting care in the first hour gives you the best chance for a good outcome. Are you an African American? People of African American descent are at higher risk for high blood pressure, heart disease, and kidney disease. So if you are an African American, it is even more important for you to take good care of yourself and keep an eye on your blood pressure to stay healthy. Heart attacks are often caused by blobs of fat-like plaque in the artery walls. Artery damage from high blood pressure can make plaque more likely to grow. This makes the artery more narrow and easier to clog. Inflammation seems to play a role in creating plaque and helping it grow in the arteries. A blood test called C-reactive protein measures inflammation in the body. These levels may rise years before a heart attack, so this test can be a good early warning sign. Another test of inflammation, the PLAC test, can predict a future stroke or heart attack by measuring inflammation directly within our arteries. What is heart failure? According to the Heart Failure Society of America, heart failure means the heart is not pumping blood through the body as well as it should. As the heart's pumping action weakens, blood backs up into the blood vessels around the lungs and causes fluid seepage into the lungs. The fluid builds up, causing congestion around the lungs that makes it hard to breathe. That is why heart failure is sometimes called congestive heart failure. Many people with heart failure also have swollen legs and feet. What is left ventricular hypertrophy, or LVH? LVH is a common cause of heart failure in people with kidney problems and the leading cause of death. Many people with kidney disease have anemia, a shortage of oxygen-carrying red blood cells. Without enough oxygen, your heart has to work harder, and so it becomes thicker or hypertrophied. The left ventricle, the heart's main pumping chamber, grows bigger to pump more blood. In time, the overworked ventricle can give out. LVH can begin before you are aware of it. By the time the kidneys fail, nearly 75% of people already have some LVH. To stay healthy with kidney disease, exercise, with your doctor's okay, and keep your blood pressure in the target range your doctor gives you. Make sure you are tested for anemia and have it treated. An echocardiogram or ultrasound of the heart can measure the thickness of your heart muscle and see if you are developing LVH. What is a stroke? According to the American Heart Association, or AHA, a stroke occurs when a blood vessel that brings oxygen and nutrients to the brain bursts or is clogged by a blood clot or some other particle. The parts of the brain that are starved of oxygen are damaged, often permanently. Like heart attacks, strokes or brain attacks are more likely when blood pressure is high and plaque builds up, causing clogs. The AHA's symptoms of stroke include sudden trouble seeing in one or both eyes, sudden severe headaches with no known cause, sudden numbness or weakness of the face, arm, or leg, especially on one side of the body, sudden confusion, trouble speaking or understanding, sudden trouble walking, dizziness, or loss of balance. If one or more of these symptoms is present, call 911. Getting care in the first hour gives the best chance for a good outcome. Risk factors for high blood pressure and heart problems. Some lifestyle factors can raise your risk of high blood pressure and heart problems or make these problems worse. We'll talk about each of these in a little more detail. Being overweight and blood pressure. BMI. Research has found that being overweight often goes along with high blood pressure. The higher the weight, the higher the blood pressure. Most people who lose weight also see their blood pressure drop. There are a couple of ways for you to tell if your weight is about right for your height. One of them is called the body mass index, or BMI. A BMI less than 18.5 is underweight, which may mean malnutrition. A healthy BMI is between 18.5 and 25. A BMI between 25 and 30 suggests overweight. A BMI greater than 30 means that a person is obese. And a BMI greater than 40 means very obese. Ask your doctor to calculate your BMI. A 10-year study of health in nurses found that people with BMIs from 25 to 30 were more likely to have high blood pressure, high cholesterol, heart disease, and gallstones. The risk of type 2 diabetes was 20 times higher in people with a BMI greater than 35. Being overweight and blood pressure, waist-to-hips ratio. Extra weight around your middle is more of a health risk than weight on your hips. If your waist is the same size as your hips or bigger, you are an apple. Apples have higher risks of high blood pressure, heart disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes. Slim or pear-shaped people who carry extra weight lower in the body are at less risk for these problems. One way to know where you carry fat in your body is the waist-to-hips ratio. Using a measuring tape, measure slightly above the level of your belly button. Write down this measurement. Then measure your hips by placing a tape measure around the widest part of your hips. Divide the waist measurement by the hip measurement. Be sure to round to the nearest quarter inch or centimeter. Note, 1 quarter equals 0.25, 1 half equals 0.5, and 3 quarters equals 0.75. A number greater than 1.0 means that you are an apple shape. This suggests that you are at higher risk for heart disease, stroke, and type 2 diabetes. It is important to talk to your doctor or a registered dietitian about how to lose weight, exercise, reduce your risk, and stay healthier. Reducing salt in your diet. Salt makes your cells hold extra fluid. Eating a salty diet can raise the amount of fluid in your body. Too much fluid raises your blood pressure and makes your heart work harder. Salty foods also make you thirsty, so you drink more fluids, making the problem worse since your kidneys may not remove some or all of it. In some cases, eating less salt can help lower blood pressure. People who start to limit salt find that it's hard at first, but after a few weeks, they like the way foods taste and find common foods like snack foods, canned soups, and deli meats much too salty. If you have high blood pressure, or you are on dialysis, or have a transplant, your doctor may ask you to keep your daily sodium to 2,000 milligrams or less. It helps to learn how to read food labels, Choose low-sodium foods and track your daily intake in a notebook. A renal dietitian can help you. Warning: salt substitutes can harm you. Don't switch to salt substitutes if your kidneys don't work. Many have high levels of potassium and are harmful to people with kidney failure. To learn more about limiting sodium in the diet, listen to Module 9, Nutrition and Fluids for People on Dialysis. Blood pressure and smoking. If you smoke, having a cigarette may feel relaxing, but inside your body, smoking has the opposite effect on your blood vessels. The nicotine in cigarettes stiffens blood vessels, which raises blood pressure. Smoking may also cause tiny injuries to the inside of the arteries, which makes plaque more likely to build up. This is one reason smokers are more likely to have heart attacks. We've just said that smoking tightens blood vessels. This includes blood vessels in your kidneys. If you have kidney disease and you quit smoking, you can help your kidney function last as long as possible. Quitting smoking. If you want to quit smoking, how can you succeed? The answer depends on why you smoke and what you get out of it. Some people have had success with a buddy system, working with a friend, a reward system, putting cigarette money towards another goal like a trip or a new bicycle, quitting cold turkey by picking a day and getting rid of all cigarettes, nicotine patches or gum to help get over the hurdle, cutting down day by day, and hypnosis or laser. Quitting smoking isn't easy, but when you succeed, it's something you can feel really good about. You will also feel better and be able to do things like climb stairs more easily. High cholesterol and blood pressure. The National Cholesterol Education Program began its work more than 30 years ago to teach Americans about the dangers of high cholesterol. So you may know that cholesterol is a waxy fat. It can build up inside your arteries, causing plaques that can stop blood flow and lead to heart attacks or strokes. The insides of your arteries have a smooth lining so blood can flow freely. High blood pressure can cause tiny tears in this lining that allow waxy blobs of plaque to form and grow inside the vessel. Plaque can narrow the arteries so it is hard for blood to pass through, further raising blood pressure. Ask your doctor about your last cholesterol blood test. To reduce your risk of heart attacks and stroke, your total cholesterol should be 150 to 199 milligrams per deciliter. Your HDL, or good cholesterol, should be 60 milligrams per deciliter or higher. Your LDL, or bad cholesterol, should be 130 milligrams per deciliter or lower. Your triglycerides should be 35 to 135 milligrams per deciliter if you are a woman, and 40 to 160 milligrams per deciliter if you are a man. Some doctors test how many cholesterol-carrying particles you have in your body. These particles, called LDLP, may be an even more accurate way to help you identify and treat your cholesterol risk. If your cholesterol levels are too high, there are some things you can do. Eat foods lower in saturated fats. Saturated fats are solid at room temperature, like butter, margarine, lard, Crisco, and the fats in red meat. Unsaturated fats are liquid at room temperature. They can be found in nuts, fish and oils like olive oil, sesame oil, and cooking oils. Eat fewer white foods. Rice, white potatoes, white bread, cakes, cupcakes, cookies, etc. all have one thing in common: low fiber and lots of sugar in the form of simple carbs. These foods raise cholesterol and triglyceride levels, and cutting back helps lower your levels. Choosing whole grain breads, sweet potatoes or other squashes, starches, as well as vegetables and fruits, can improve your health, and they taste great, too. Lose weight if you are overweight. Get active. 30 minutes of physical activity a day can help lower your bad or LDL cholesterol and raise your good or HDL cholesterol, and help you lose weight. Talk to your doctor if you have not been active lately or need help from a physical therapist to get moving. Ask your doctor about a statin. These cholesterol-lowering drugs like Pravacol, Zocor, Lipitor, etc. can help reduce the risk of a heart attack. If your doctor prescribes a statin, ask if you should take the supplement Coenzyme Q10. Statins deplete Coenzyme Q10 in the body and can cause muscle weakness. Muscle pain on statins should be reported to your doctor right away. Alcohol and blood pressure. Moderate drinking, One drink per day for women, and up to two a day for men, is linked with a lower rate of heart problems. But for reasons that are not yet clear, drinking more alcohol than this is harmful to the heart and can raise blood pressure. Alcohol also has empty calories, which can add to unwanted pounds and sugars, which must be accounted for if you have diabetes. Also, drinking alcohol makes some people snack more and then gain weight from those extra calories. Diabetes and high blood pressure, the double whammy. All of these risk factors we've just talked about are very important. But diabetes and high blood pressure together are a double whammy that is extra hard on your body. Diabetes damages the blood vessels. Large blood vessel damage can affect the heart and blood flow to the legs, making heart disease and limb loss more common. Small blood vessel damage can affect the eyes and kidneys, making blindness and kidney disease more common. For these reasons, diabetes is the leading cause of limb loss, blindness, and kidney disease in the United States. Adding high blood pressure to diabetes can make any damage occur much faster. If you have ever been diagnosed with diabetes, then it is very important that you do all you can to control your blood sugar. This means testing your blood sugar as often as your doctor suggests, taking your diabetes medicines, following your meal plan, keeping your weight under control, and getting regular exercise. If your blood sugar is not well controlled, your blood pressure won't be either. As many as 5 million Americans may not know they have type 2 diabetes, the form that usually occurs in adults. Most people with type 2 diabetes don't find out for up to 10 years. You should be tested every year for diabetes if any one of these is true. You have a family history of diabetes. If one of your parents has type 2 diabetes, you are at a 40% risk yourself, if your BMI is greater than 25. If you are an apple shape who carries body fat around your middle, and if you are over 65 years of age. Not sure if you've been tested for diabetes? Ask your doctor. What is metabolic syndrome? Metabolic syndrome is a cluster of health problems that raise the risk of heart disease, high blood pressure, strokes, and type 2 diabetes. The National Cholesterol Education Program says that metabolic syndrome includes three or more of the following: fasting blood sugar of 110 milligrams per deciliter or more, serum triglyceride levels of 150 milligrams per deciliter or more, serum HDL or good cholesterol less than 40 milligrams per deciliter in men or 50 milligrams per deciliter in women, blood pressure greater than 130 over 85 millimeters of mercury, a waist bigger than 40 inches in men or 35 inches in women. If you have metabolic syndrome, your best chance to avoid health problems is to exercise for 30 to 60 minutes a day, lose weight, and quit smoking if you smoke. Losing even 5% of your body weight can reduce your health risk. Over-the-counter medications and high blood pressure. Many cold and flu remedies have ingredients that can raise your blood pressure. Decongestants, drugs to help a stuffy nose, are the usual culprit. Ask your doctor or pharmacist to suggest a cold or flu remedy that won't raise your blood pressure. How do you know if your heart is healthy now? Your doctor may order tests of your heart function, either routinely or if he or she suspects that you may have a problem. These tests may include a blood test for C-reactive protein, or CRP. This low-cost test measures inflammation anywhere in the body. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention and the American Heart Association suggest that anyone at risk for heart disease think about having this test. An average CRP level in the United States is 1.5. Levels greater than 3.0 suggest an increased risk of heart problems. A blood test for homocysteine. Homocysteine is an amino acid your body produces. In high levels, it can irritate blood vessels, increase blood clotting, and raise levels of bad cholesterol. A healthy homocysteine level is less than 12 micromoles per liter. Folic acid and vitamins B6 and B12, or foods containing folic acid, like leafy green vegetables, spinach, asparagus, and cereals, can help bring down a too high homocysteine level. A blood test for artery inflammation, the PLAC test, High values of this test have been shown to predict future heart attacks and strokes. Drugs like statins and niacin have been shown to lower levels of this test. A blood test for LDLP. This test measures the precise number of cholesterol-containing particles you have in your blood. Knowing this number can help doctors treat your cholesterol problems more effectively. A chest X-ray can show abnormal deposits of calcium inside the heart or large blood vessels. An electrocardiogram, an EKG or an ECG. This test uses electrodes placed on the chest, arms, and legs to measure electrical activity inside the heart. It takes about 5 to 10 minutes and can reveal problems with the heart rhythm, as well as a heart attack or even LVH. An echocardiogram. This 30-minute test uses an ultrasound probe on top of the chest to take pictures of the inside of the heart as it beats. Echocardiograms can show the size of the heart chambers, strength of the heart muscle, presence of fluid around the heart, problems with heart valves, or a change in pressure inside the heart. A cardiac stress test. This test measures the health of the heart when it is under stress, usually through exercise, walking or running on a treadmill or riding a stationary bike. Some patients who cannot exercise may receive medications instead to stress the heart. Electrodes are used to monitor the heart during the test. Stress tests can look for silent heart disease with no symptoms, more common in people with diabetes and high blood pressure, measure exercise tolerance, and determine if stress causes an abnormal heart rhythm. A CT coronary angiogram. This is a very rapid CAT scan, about 10 seconds, that uses contrast dye to look at the arteries that feed your heart. It is a less invasive way to get pictures like those from angiograms or cardiac catheterizations. Angiogram or cardiac catheterization. This 30-minute test is done by threading a catheter tube through a needle from a blood vessel in the arm or leg into the heart. The catheter can then measure pressure inside the heart and check the arteries for blockages. Contrast dye is used, and photos of the heart and blood vessels are taken during the test. You may need to lie flat for several hours afterwards to allow the small incision in your leg or arm to close up. What do I need to know about contrast dye? Contrast dye can damage the kidneys. This can make your kidney disease progress more quickly. Taking a medication called Mucomist, or N-acetylcysteine, starting the 12 to 24 hours before a test may help prevent kidney damage from contrast dye. Mucomist is a liquid that can be mixed with juice or a soft drink to mask its sulfur smell. Other things you can do to protect your kidneys are: ask the radiologist to dilute the contrast dye as much as possible, drink plenty of fluids, avoid over-the-counter pain pills when you will be having a dye test. A contrast dye called gadolinium has been linked with a rare complication in people with kidney problems that causes the skin and internal organs to become rigid. Nephrogenic systemic fibrosis can cause death. Be sure to tell the radiologist that you have kidney problems before having a test with contrast dye. Blood pressure and gaining too much fluid weight for people on dialysis. One of the biggest challenges for people on dialysis is staying within fluid limits. It's hard to balance short-term pleasures like a glass of cool lemonade on a hot day with long-term problems like high blood pressure and heart failure. It's your body and your choice. But to choose well, you need to know that each time you gain extra fluid, your heart has to struggle a little bit to handle the extra blood volume. And once stretched and thickened, your heart may never go back to its normal size. Over time, the stretching and thickening and the extra work your heart has to do to pump all the extra blood through your system can cause heart failure, the leading cause of death for people on dialysis. Limiting fluids. If you don't want heart failure, limit your fluid intake. But there's another good reason to watch your fluids if you are on standard in-center HD. Taking off a lot of fluid all at once is very hard on your body. During a treatment, you may even have low blood pressure or hypotension. Low blood pressure at HD feels awful. You may be dizzy or faint, break out in a cold sweat, feel panicked or vomit. You may have severe, painful cramps in any muscle in your body. You can avoid much of this if you limit your fluid gains and know your dry weight, your weight without any excess fluid. How do you know if you are gaining too much fluid? Here are some signs that you should talk to your care team about. On my bathroom scale, I've gained more than my doctor suggested. I have puffiness under my eyes. My feet or ankles are swollen. I may even be able to dent them when I press with a finger. My hands are swollen. I feel more tired than usual. My blood pressure is higher than usual. I feel short of breath. I have a headache. Or other symptoms. So you can see that fluid overload can cause a number of problems, including high blood pressure. What can you do to protect against fluid overload? Lots. Your doctor or dietitian will give you a daily fluid limit. If you avoid salt, you won't feel as thirsty. To stay as healthy as you can, stay within this limit. You'll look and feel better right after and between dialysis sessions, and your blood pressure will be under better control too. It is vital that you know just how much fluid to take in each day. This is one of the biggest steps you can take to keep your heart healthy. Here are some proven ways to drink less fluid. Drink only when you are thirsty and just enough to satisfy your thirst. Take pills or capsules with a spoonful or two of applesauce or pudding instead of fluid. Drink from small cups or glasses. Eat a piece of cold fruit. Cold fluids are more thirst-quenching. Freeze ice cubes or small popsicles from your favorite low-potassium juice. 1/2 cup of water equals 1 cup of ice, so your fluid goes further. Keep a spray bottle in the refrigerator and mist your mouth with a cool liquid. Check with your doctor to see if any medications you are taking cause dry mouth. Eat cereal or soup with a fork. This will leave you more fluid to drink later. Suck on a sour or mint hard candy, a lemon wedge, frozen grapes, or chew gum to stimulate saliva in your mouth. Each day, fill a jar with the water equal to your daily fluid limit. Every time you drink, pour that amount from the jar. You will be able to see how much you have left. Limit salt. You'll be much less thirsty if you do. And control your blood sugar if you have diabetes. Get more dialysis to have more fluids. You don't want to have to live with rigid fluid limits? Choose a type of dialysis that removes much more fluid more gently, like daily or nocturnal home HD. To learn more, visit Module 2 and listen to Treatment Options for Kidney Failure. Staying heart healthy. The good news about high blood pressure and heart disease risk is that you can do something about it. This may mean lifestyle changes and medication. We'll tell you about both. Your starting point is to know your numbers and your doctor's plan. Ask for your blood pressure readings and your target blood pressure for your age and condition. Write these numbers down so you can compare them to future readings. If you are on dialysis, you'll need to know what your blood pressure is and how you are doing with your treatment in order to keep your heart healthy. This means checking your blood pressure often, but never on your dialysis access arm because it can damage your access. Since you cannot feel when your blood pressure is high, this is the only way to know what is happening. There are several ways you can do this. The best way, if you can afford it, is to buy a home blood pressure monitor you can use a few times a day. This will tell you a lot about your blood pressure patterns and how you respond to treatment. Most drugstores sell blood pressure monitors, and your doctor can suggest a good one. A home blood pressure monitor may cost about $50. Insurance may or may not cover it. Ask your nurse or doctor to show you how to use it. Another way to track your blood pressure is to use the blood pressure machines found at many drugstores. These are usually free or sometimes 25 cents, but may not always give correct readings. A third way, if you are on standard in-center HD and can't afford a blood pressure cuff for home use, is to ask for your blood pressure readings during dialysis. Also, some dialysis centers provide blood pressure monitors for their patients. Here are some things you can do to control your blood pressure and to help keep your heart healthy. Eat a healthy diet and maintain a healthy weight. If you have kidney failure, eat a diet that suits the treatment you chose. Standard in-center HD has the strictest diet and fluid limits. Daily HD and PD have somewhat fewer limits. For the most normal diet and fluids, do nocturnal HD at night while you sleep. It removes the most fluid and toxins. If you have a transplant, you will need to watch calories, limit salt, and drink plenty of fluids. Get regular exercise. Take your blood pressure pills as prescribed. If you smoke, Quit. If you drink alcohol, do so in moderation. If you are on dialysis, know what your dry weight should be and work to keep it there. White coat hypertension. Certain behaviors, like visiting a doctor's office or talking when your blood pressure is read, can raise your blood pressure reading. You may get a more accurate result if you check your blood pressure at home. Still, if your blood pressure goes up at the doctor's office, it may also rise when you're stuck in traffic, upset at work, or having a fight with someone. If high blood pressure is the way your body reacts to stress, you need to get treatment for it. As one dialysis patient noted, "I've been taking my own blood pressure for years. It is how I know that it drops after treatment and eating. Yesterday, I left the unit with a standing blood pressure of 142 over 87. My blood pressure was 128 over 79 when I arrived home 45 minutes later. An hour after eating, my blood pressure dropped to 102 over 62 and remained there. This morning, it was 132 over 82 and dropped to 105 over 62 after eating breakfast." Eat a healthy diet and maintain a healthy weight. America may have the most diverse food supply of any nation, but we may also have some of the worst eating habits. Study after study shows that eating right can pay off in a healthier life. What's a healthy diet? Fresh fruits and vegetables. Try to eat a rainbow each day, but be sure to stay within your potassium limits if you're on dialysis. Red apples, raspberries, or watermelon. Orange apricots or carrots. Yellow corn, summer squash, or fresh pineapple. Green asparagus or lettuce. Blueberries. Purple eggplants or blackberries. The micronutrients that give fruits and vegetables their beautiful colors also help protect your health. Lean meats, chicken, fish, and vegetable protein. Your doctor may suggest that you eat more or less protein, depending on how your kidneys are working. If you eat beef or pork, choose leaner cuts for less fat. Add oily fish, such as salmon, to your diet a few times a week for omega-3 fatty acids that protect your heart. Cook chicken with skin on to keep it moist, then don't eat the skin. Beans, nuts, and peanut butter, and soy products, like tofu, also have protein. These tend to be less complete proteins than what is found in meat and fish. If you are on dialysis, you may need to limit beans, nuts, and soy because they are high in phosphorus. Whole grain cereals and breads. Many cereal and bread products have lots of added sugar. Read labels and look for cereals with at least 4 grams of fiber per serving. Seek out tasty whole wheat, multigrain, or oatmeal breads instead of plain white bread. Keep donuts, cookies, brownies, high-fat muffins, toaster pastries, etc. as a rare treat, not daily fare. Unsaturated fats. Cook with heart-healthy extra virgin olive oil or safflower oil instead of butter, Crisco, or lard. Read labels to look for saturated fat where you might not expect to find it. U.S. food makers are required to label food that contains trans fats or partially hydrogenated oil, oils that are made solid at room temperature by injecting oxygen into them. The body does not process these fats well, and they can cause heart disease and may help trigger type 2 diabetes. Trans fats are found in most margarines and baked goods like crackers, cookies, even macaroni and cheese. Read food labels and avoid products that list partially hydrogenated oils in the ingredients. Reduce salt. Hidden salt is very common in fast foods, sauces, and in processed foods like deli meats, dried mixes, helpers, pickled foods, canned soups, and even cottage cheese. Learn to read labels for sodium. Low-fat dairy if you are not on dialysis. Milk is a great source of calcium, and skim milk has just as much as 2%. Try low-fat sour cream, yogurt, and ice creams instead of the full-fat versions. Don't like the taste of low-fat cheese? Eat the real thing, in a smaller portion. Get regular exercise. Regular exercise is a great way to make your heart stronger, make your lungs more efficient, keep your blood vessels open, to fight fatigue, really, keep you thinner, reduce the chance of falling and hurting a muscle or bone, sweat off some of the excess water you might have in your body, and help you relax. Try to be active for part of each day if you can, whether it's gardening, yoga, swimming, walking with a friend, riding an exercise bicycle, bowling, or any other activity you enjoy doing. You'll feel better. As one patient said, Prior to being diagnosed with kidney failure, I had joined a local gym and was walking on the treadmill 3 times a week. There were stairs that led up to the second-story exercise room. At first, I could not get up those steps without severe tiredness in my legs. I've heard it said that kidney patients have trouble with stairs. Well, after about 2 months of going to the gym, I could run, skip, and jump up the stairs with no problems. That showed me that a big part of our problem is simply being out of shape. Talk to your doctor before starting a new activity program. To learn more about staying active, listen to Module 12, Staying Active with Kidney Disease. Take your blood pressure pills as prescribed. Many people need medicine to control high blood pressure. People with CKD and kidney failure usually need pills to lower their blood pressure. In fact, many people with CKD need 2 or more blood pressure drugs to bring their blood pressure into a normal range. You may not like to take drugs, but in many cases, lifestyle changes may not be enough to control your blood pressure. When you combine drugs with lifestyle changes, you have the best chance of keeping your blood pressure in the healthy range. Though rare, you may be allergic to a new drug, and all drugs may have side effects. Your doctor and pharmacist can help you sort out which is which. Many side effects ease up in time when your body gets used to a new drug. At the end of this module, we'll give you a handy chart that will list possible side effects of blood pressure pills. Report any new symptoms right away. But don't stop taking a blood pressure pill unless your doctor tells you to. Stopping some drugs suddenly can be harmful. When you start a new blood pressure pill, avoid driving or using heavy machinery until you know how it affects you. Blood pressure pills can only work if you take them the right way. This means understanding and believing that your blood pressure may be high even when you can't feel it. Taking your blood pressure pills only when you think your pressure is high won't work. Here are some other tips to help you take your blood pressure pills so they will work best for you. Check the ones that might be helpful to remember. Not sure how to take a new blood pressure pill? Read the label and talk to the pharmacist. Ask about when and how often to take the pills and whether they need to be taken with or without food. Can't recall when to take your pills? Try a medication reminder box, a timer, or figure out a way to fit your pills into your daily routine. Missed a dose? Take it as soon as you remember, unless it's almost time for the next dose. Can't afford your pills? Talk to your doctor. There are so many blood pressure pills on the market that a cheaper one may work just as well. Samples may be available, or some drug companies may offer discounts or free medications to people who cannot afford them. Don't borrow, trade, or lend pills, though. A blood pressure pill that works well for someone else may not work for you, and vice versa. Side effects make a blood pressure pill too hard to take? Talk to your doctor. A different drug in the same or a different class may cause fewer problems and work just as well. Worried about drug interactions? Talk to your doctor and pharmacist about all of the medications you are taking so they can alert you. Not sure how to store your pills safely? Keep them in a cool, dry place like a cupboard. Blood pressure pills, a closer look. Blood pressure drugs come in classes. Each class works in the body in a different way to help bring down blood pressure. You can sometimes tell the class of a blood pressure drug by looking at the last few letters of the generic name. We'll tell you a little bit about the 8 classes of blood pressure drugs here. They are 1, diuretics, 2, ACE inhibitors, 3, angiotensin receptor blockers, or ARBs, 4, beta blockers, 5, calcium channel blockers, or CCBs, 6, alpha blockers, 7, centrally acting agents, and 8, vasodilators. Diuretics. Diuretics are a class of blood pressure drugs that work by not letting the kidneys reabsorb salt, which causes the body to hold water. Diuretics, often called water pills, cause you to make more urine. If you have kidney failure, you would only take diuretics if you still make some urine. If you are allergic to sulfa, ask your doctor or pharmacist before taking a diuretic. Some diuretics contain sulfa. A national 8-year study of blood pressure control in more than 33,000 people over age 55 was released in 2002. This study, paid for by the National Heart, Lung, and Blood Institute, found that diuretics worked better and were much cheaper than some newer blood pressure drugs and should often be tried first. ACE inhibitors. ACE inhibitors are a class of blood pressure drugs that work by relaxing your arteries. The generic names of ACE inhibitors end in the letters PRIL or PRIL. Some common generic names for ACE inhibitors are captopril or Capitin and ramipril or Altase. The ACE in ACE inhibitors stands for angiotensin converting enzyme. Angiotensin is a hormone made by the kidneys that tells your blood vessels to tense up or narrow. This causes blood pressure to rise. ACE inhibitors block response to an enzyme that helps convert angiotensin, so blood vessels stay relaxed and blood pressure is lower. Do you take lithium? ACE inhibitors can increase lithium levels. So if you need to take both, you may need to have your lithium levels adjusted. ACE inhibitors and high potassium levels. An ACE inhibitor can increase the level of potassium in your body, which can stop your heart. Signs of too high potassium include numbness or tingling in lips, hands, or feet, arrhythmia, or an irregular heart rhythm, confusion, mental changes, or moodiness, shortness of breath or trouble breathing, and heaviness or weakness of the legs. Many studies have shown that ACE inhibitors can help slow the rate of CKD in people with high blood pressure or diabetes who are not yet on dialysis. ACE inhibitors are the drug of choice in people who have protein in their urine, even if blood pressure is normal. But if your high blood pressure is caused by renal arteries that are too narrow, ACE inhibitors can make this problem worse. Taking ACE inhibitors with over-the-counter pain pills can also damage the kidneys. If you are not yet on dialysis, swelling of the hands, feet, or face can be a sign that your kidney disease is getting worse. But if you are taking an ACE inhibitor, swelling can be a side effect of the medication. How can you tell the difference? You can't, but your doctor can. If you notice swelling, ask your doctor to test your kidney function. Some people have a persistent dry cough when they take ACE inhibitors. If this cough doesn't go away, you may need to switch to an ARB. We'll talk about those next. Angiotensin receptor blockers, or ARBs. ARBs work by blocking the action of angiotensin in the arteries so blood vessels stay relaxed. The generic names of ARBs end in sartan. Some common ones are losartan or Cozar, valsartan or Diovan, and irbesartan or Ivapro. Like ACE inhibitors, studies have shown that ARBs help to protect the kidneys of people who are not yet on dialysis and who have diabetes and protein in the urine, a sign of kidney damage. Because ARBs don't cause a cough, they are often used in people who can't take ACE inhibitors. Beta blockers. Beta blockers lower high blood pressure by blocking the effects of the body's natural stimulant, adrenaline. This can slow the heart rate, relax the arteries, or do both. The generic names of beta blockers end in olol. Some common beta blockers include metoprolol, or Lopressor, propranolol, or Inderol, and atenolol, or Tenormin. Beta blockers are more complex to take than the blood pressure drugs we talked about so far. Why? Because they are more likely to interact with other drugs, make other medical problems worse, and cause side effects. But sometimes a mix of blood pressure pills is needed to reduce high blood pressure. So, the benefits of beta blockers may outweigh the risks. Be sure to tell your doctor and pharmacist about any other medical problems you have. If you have any of these conditions, a beta blocker may not be the best choice for you. Diabetes. Beta blockers may raise your blood sugar or reduce the symptoms of low blood sugar. Asthma, hay fever, chronic bronchitis, or emphysema. Food or dye allergies. Beta blockers may make them worse. Abnormal thyroid. Poor circulation in your hands or feet. An already slow heart rate. If you need a beta blocker, certain foods or drinks like caffeine, cough and cold remedies, antihistamines, alcohol, and aluminum-containing antacids or phosphate binders may make it less effective. Calcium channel blockers, or CCBs. Calcium channel blockers work by keeping calcium from entering the muscle cells of the heart and blood vessels. This slows the heart rate and relaxes the arteries, reducing blood pressure. Many CCBs end in otapine. Two common CCPs are amlodipine, or Norvasc, and phalodipine, or Plendil. If you need to take a CCB, be careful what you drink. It's safest to avoid alcohol entirely, or you'll risk a drop in blood pressure. In quantities over 1 quart per day, grapefruit juice can cause CCBs to build up to toxic levels in your body. Eating a daily grapefruit may be okay if it fits into your potassium limits. Check with your doctor or pharmacist. Alpha blockers. Alpha blockers work by blocking the effects of stress hormones like adrenaline on the alpha receptors in your heart. This keeps your heart rate from going up when you are under the usual stresses of everyday life. Alpha blockers also keep your arteries from narrowing. Some common alpha blockers include doxazosin or Cardura and prazosin or Minipress. In men, alpha blockers may also be used to treat prostate enlargement or benign prostatic hypertrophy. Centrally acting agents. Centrally acting agents reduce blood pressure by relaxing the small arteries. These drugs have been used for many years, often with diuretics. Common ones include clonidine or Ketapress, and methyldopa, Aldomet, which can be used safely in pregnancy. Clonidine can be taken as a pill or by a skin patch. These types of blood pressure drugs can make you feel dizzy or drowsy, so get up slowly if you are lying down. Be sure you know how the drugs affect you before you drive a car. Don't stop taking the drugs suddenly. Your blood pressure could rise very quickly, or you might feel anxious. Vasodilators. Vasodilators relax muscles in the vessel walls, making the blood vessels wider and causing blood pressure to go down. Vasodilators may be used when other types of blood pressure pills have not worked. Commonly used vasodilators include hydralazine, known as aprepoline or aprepazide, and minoxidil or lanotin, which can also help grow hair. Like centrally acting agents, these types of blood pressure pills can make you feel dizzy or drowsy, so get up slowly if you are lying down. Be sure you know how the pills affect you before you drive a car. Alcohol can make the dizziness worse. Don't stop taking the pills suddenly. Your blood pressure could rise very quickly, or you might feel anxious. Now that you've heard about all the classes of blood pressure pills, which ones do you want to ask your doctor about? Diuretics? ACE inhibitors? Angiotensin receptor blockers, or ARBs? Beta blockers? Calcium channel blockers, or CCBs? Alpha blockers? Centrally acting agents? Or vasodilators? Improving heart health. So far in this module, we've talked about lifestyle factors that can raise your risk of heart disease. But there are also some lifestyle factors that can help reduce your risk of heart disease or lower your blood pressure. We've already talked about exercise. There are many studies that show that exercise can lower blood pressure and protect the heart. Reducing stress and even meditating can also help improve heart health, especially in people of African American descent. Stress is everywhere in daily life. Jobs, relationships, traffic, bills, doctor visits, health problems, etc. And each time your body is under stress, your body releases stress hormones like adrenaline and cortisol. These hormones have many effects on the body, including raising your blood pressure and making your heart race. Can you reduce stress in your life? Maybe. Here are some things you might try. Keep a journal. Writing about the things that bother me can help me see things more clearly and maybe even find some answers. Seek out a support group. No matter what is upsetting me, I am not alone. Someone, somewhere, is struggling with the same concerns. In my town or even online, I can find a group to talk with. Take up yoga, tai chi, qigong, or another form of exercise that helps me relax. De-stress my home. Get rid of clutter. Throw out or give away things I don't wear or use. I'll feel much better when I have a calm retreat, even just one room. Create a calming ritual that I can do every day. A warm bath with candles, a foot rub, a lavender sachet under my pillow, etc. Snuggle with a pet. Stroking a cat or dog can boost my mood and soothe my spirit, reducing my stress level and blood pressure. Take up a needlework hobby. Knitting, crochet, sewing, needlepoint, or embroidery can help calm my nerves and soothe my spirit, and the results may make great handmade gifts. Take an anger management class. It can help me put daily upsets in perspective. Get my finances in order. If money problems are causing me stress, I will seek out free advice. I'll talk to a renal social worker about my health care cost, find a nonprofit service that consolidates debt, or call credit card companies and ask for extension and a lower interest rate. Play music that calms me. I'll turn off the TV and find a radio station or CD that makes me feel relaxed. The library offers free music rentals. Cook on a weekend for the whole week. I'll make two or three dishes that I can mix and match and reduce dinner hour stress. Let some things go. I can't always control what happens in my life, but I can control how I choose to respond to it. If my faith is strong, I might choose to let go and let God. Pay attention to your own thoughts. If I catch myself being negative, challenge myself to come up with a positive idea instead. Talk to a trained therapist, like a psychologist or social worker, about the things that are worrying me. Turn off the news. Exercise. Another way to deal with stress is to learn a way to relax your body and mind. Studies have shown that learning to relax and meditate can help slow the heart, relax the arteries, and reduce blood pressure and heart disease. Can you find 15 or 20 minutes each day to sit or lie down quietly and focus on your breathing? If possible, it's best to learn how to relax with help from an expert. Find a class in your area, or if not, even a video or audio tape that can teach you how. If you can't find one of these resources, look for a book or a website to teach you the basics. Give it a try. You've got nothing to lose but your stress. Which of these lifestyle choices do you need to work on? Choose just one for now. Limiting daily salt intake? Losing weight? Eating a healthier diet? Taking blood pressure medicines the right way? Getting regular exercise? Quitting smoking? Controlling blood sugar? Reducing stress in my life? Staying within my fluid limits if I'm on dialysis? Any other lifestyle choice you need to work on? The hardest part of making a lifestyle change is getting started. And a great starting point is to make a goal. Think of one concrete, measurable goal that you could pursue over the next week toward the lifestyle change you chose. Example: lifestyle change is getting regular exercise. Goal is, I will start walking for 20 minutes a day, 5 times a week, starting tomorrow. We're ready to wrap up this module on staying heart healthy. But before we do, we offer a final word. Kidney disease brings you many challenges, but you never have to be just a passive onlooker. It is your health and quality of life that are at stake. So learn as much as you can and then act on it. Whether it's blood pressure and fluids or some other part of life, this approach will help you to live well with kidney disease. This is the conclusion of Module 13 of Kidney School. We hope you enjoyed it and found it helpful, and will listen to other modules.